It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Casper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports. Let me get you caught up. What's been going on today? Twitter, a cesspool, a sewer, a nonstop sewer. Why I'm on it, I don't know. I suppose it's because of the job and because I'm an addict as well. I'm a Twitter addict. Shame on me, I know, as we all are. Like, you want to get away from it, but you can't. Start the show this morning saying, we're here. We're here for you, the people. You know, let's have ourselves a time like we do each and every Saturday. And let me do my best not to make Chris uncomfortable. Which I usually fail at week in, week out. But
I'm like, are they still going to let me do this show? I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing, too, is, I keeps it real, and sometimes keeping it real goes wrong. You remember that that brilliant bit from the Dave Chappelle show 16 years ago. And I make no apologies for that. And I started the show saying I went out to dinner last night, Semolina, Medford, can't recommend him enough. And I didn't base my night on being in front of a television, being bored to death by the Red Sox game. The win over the Orioles. Just get it. Sports are back, finally. Like, great. Yeah, neat. But for me, with the Red Sox being back, ooh, like, neat. It's just not my thing. Fourth of the fourth sports, of the four, like, major sports. Not going to fake it. Never will on these airwaves or any other airwaves I've been on or will be. 23 years and counting in this here radio game. And what do you know? Bring it back to Twitter. Chris tells me during the first commercial break, like, oh, man, you made someone mad. Made one of the local blue check marks mad. That would be Tom Karen of Nesson, right? Nesson, yeah.
Yes, so yeah, Nesson,
I get it.
Yeah.
Entrenched with the Red Sox,
he's
but
the face of Nesson.
Big Jim Murray fan. But to come on this morning, say he didn't watch many last night's Red Sox game, first game by played by one of the big four teams in town in the last 4 months is a joke. Be better, and then at mentioning the employer as well. Very classy. I get it. Like, I get it. You're entrenched. That's what you do. But so yeah, now there's a whole beef going on there and. Boy, I just, again, too, if you missed the Sports Hub headlines, I mean, shame on me for not taking it seriously last night and not watching that opener, which, you know, I could get caught up on, just watch the highlights and still be able to base an opinion on it. It's usually what happens when you work in sports radio. You know, no one's watching all 162, Tom, trust me. So it's funny, like, you blame me for not taking it seriously, Tom. Again, if you missed the Sports Hub headlines, it's the second game of the regular season over at Fenway Park. And the Red Sox are already sitting down one of their stars in their lineup. Xander Bogaerts sitting down so Su Wei Ling can get the nod at shortstop. And I'm sure that some hardcore baseball nerd would like to make the case of, well, you know, the splits are actually benefiting Su Wei Ling against whoever the Orioles are starting today. Like, why should I know? Nobody does. But funny, like, you're mad at me for not taking it seriously. But the manager of the team... literally not taking it seriously against the lowly Orioles today as he sits Xander Bogaerts in the, how far are we into this season? Oh, the second game. Huh. All right. Okay, but yes, shame on me.
Christian Vasquez is sitting too.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So serious. So.
In a 60-game season. I mean, the whole thing was every game counts, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen the explanation.
What's the number, too? That it's not one game that it counts.
It's 2.7.
2.7.
Yeah.
So this game, and the Red Sox now will have the benefit of actually squeaking into the playoffs when they don't deserve so, as they expanded by six games, they can actually make it. Let's sit Xander Bogaerts in the second game of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so good. It's really.
So even the manager knows these Orioles games are a joke.
Oh, man. That's good eating right there. Even the manager knows that they're a joke. So that's some vindication here for the kid. That feels good. Let me stretch that up.
Feeling good about that?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, God, it just feels good.
I mean, Verdugo's in, which is good. I mean, that was something we obviously could have talked about. Just interesting that the centerpiece of it's interesting to look at the managerial decisions in any sort of compacted, compressed season like this, right? So Verdugo, it's a key piece of the Mookie Betts deal. Obviously had the back deal in spring training. Didn't really hit that great in the summer camp. So the justification sort of yesterday for why it was okay, and look, Kevin Pillar was great. He had a great game. Obviously the right choice, not questioning it. But it's just a little disappointing that, you know, Verdugo wasn't there on opening day. But the justification for that was, well, you got to ride the hot hand, Jim, because there's only 60 games and every game really matters. Day two, Xander Bogaerts and Christian Vasquez out of the lineup for Zhuwei Lin and Kevin Plawecki. Hmm. What happened to every game counts?
I guess they don't. And speaking of Alex Verdugo, too, Tom, you guys really ever, like, talk much about what was going on with him and, like, that whole shady thing with the social media post that he had with the girl in the room? Like, no? Okay. All right, I would just say.
Okay, now you're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, all right. See, now this is where the problem with Chris and I actually being genuinely like friends off the air. Like I genuinely don't want to put Chris in an uncomfortable situation, and I do it week in, week out. And Chris is now like five times during the commercial breaks, he's like, I can just tell you're gonna blow your top. Not gonna. Nope. No, I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable
because
with this
I am a man. No. I am a man that loves spite and is just looking to be tried right now.
Like I'm just
looking for a reason.
Oh, no.
and today I got one. It was a nice spice that was added to the show. I will. Thanks for the content.
He's listening. That's good, right?
Thank you for the content.
He's listening. We appreciate the listen, TC.
But I'm just looking for a reason. Oh, man. Every day is just a baseline of pissed. And it doesn't take much.
Oh, it doesn't take much. And I know you've really, it's been trying for everybody, but I know it's been particularly trying for you because you like to be out in these streets. You like to be out among the people. You like to have your freedom. Like you've said before, you don't believe in gotta. You like to, I think you're somebody who is very big into personal autonomy. And that really hasn't been the case here for months. We've all been restricted.
And I get, look, in a situation like this, it's good for the people on Twitter, too, because, it's part of the addiction.
Oh, because everybody hates the media, so.
Well, and everybody hates everyone. So, and that's what Twitter is. Like, I hate you, and it's like, rah, like it's a kick in a hornet's nest, as I always say.
Yes.
And so for those that are, I guess, siding with Tom, I suppose, like this gentleman here, I'm reading from Hayes Richardson, who looks like a, banker with his very official looking with my suit and tie. I imagine listening to a movie review show with a host that didn't watch the movie. Feel like a basic expectation of a local sports radio host is to watch the local team on opening day. Okay, so fine. I can form an opinion without having to watch it. We've talked a lot of baseball today. Mookie Betts, expansion of playoffs. And I think we've done a hell of a job at it. In fact, I know because I trust my instinct when it comes to this business. I've been pretty damn good at it two decades in. And to anyone like yourself, sir, tweeting, like, this isn't what I would do. So what I would all, but this is my go-to recommendation. I don't know if the retail stores are open. I don't know. But I know you can order online. Try Musician's Friend. Guitar Center. What's another one?
Amazon.
Amazon. Thank you.
B&H Video.
B&H Video. Those are the people I was thinking of in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'll even give you the recommendations. Electro Voice RE20, little pricey microphone. It's about $350, $400, but you're going to sound like you have a real booming voice of God with it. I can't recommend that microphone enough.
I believe this is a RE320.
It is. Got there an RE20 back there. That's one of those ones making Tucker sound like the voice of God. So get a good microphone. Get yourself a mixer. You can get a Behringer. That's one I would, it's good Tom Behringer in it. No, like about $100. Get yourself a mixer. And if you have a Mac, GarageBand will do. And so you can start a podcast. I have given you all the ingredients to start a podcast. So you start that podcast, and you can talk about last night's Red Sox game, and no one will listen to it. No one. Your five friends. And it'll be boring, and it'll be long-winded. It'll be terrible. You'll fumble around. You think you can do this. You can't. So start your podcast that no one will listen to. There you go. And then you can talk about last night's 13-2 Boar Fest. There you go. So I am also giving back to you, the people, too. I've given you the recommendations to start your podcast. No one will listen.
I knew this. I knew it was a combustible mix. You know, before I left on vacation, when I knew baseball was coming back and we were still dealing with the quarantines, as someone I know calls them, and I knew this was going to happen eventually. I was like, this is bad. Jim is restricted. He can't do what he normally does. He loves the summertime. He likes to do things. And now all of a sudden, it's like more of his time is wrapped up in baseball with a Red Sox team that, you know, I think is, we don't know really what they are. I think certainly it was a little bit of a disappointing offseason. And I knew this was going to happen. I was like, this is a bad combination.
Yeah, Chris.
Extra work for Jim and COVID times, not good.
Yeah, it's a combustible mix right now.
It really is.
It really is. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And, we wish him the best. We love Freddie T. We've already had one guy, kind of fly off the handle here on the airwaves.
Break.
And yeah. We wish him the best, and hopefully he'll be back sooner than later.
Absolutely.
But I will tell you, if there's going to be another one that happens here, pretty sure you know who it is now, if you've listened today, or really with any regularity on a Saturday.
I think any Saturday, really, since March, I would say.
Oh, yeah, there's been some doozies. A few were even my friends afterwards are like, hey, man, you okay? No? Not at all. Let's go to John in the truck. John, hi, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Guys, you know I love you on a Saturday morning. And the reason why is because, Murray, you remind me so much of myself at times because I am about ready to lose my mind like 99.9% of the time. And then when you throw in quarantine, I'm not allowed to do what I want to do. I'm about ready to go batcrap crazy. So my question to you, gentlemen, if a baseball game happens in Fenway and no one seems to care, did it really happen? Well, is my question.
Yeah, well, so, because, John, go ahead.
No, because, Murray, I'm siding with you on this. And the reason why is, as I said to the screener, you've arrived, my friend. You know, Karen has been in Boston forever. And if he's calling you out for not watching a game that, truthfully, no one – baseball is the fourth sport in this town, and it's dying as far as a national pastime. And you're sitting here being called out by, you named it, this guy who's in a suit, right, with a tie, saying, oh, you should have watched the game last night. I can't believe this guy. You're actually going to be commenting, and you're going to be having people call about what they actually care about. Baseball is the farthest thing from the radar right now. No one cares. They're pompous jerks. They're complaining about the how many games they're playing and how they're getting paid. Really, the only people who actually care about baseball right now are the two people you offended, Karen and the guy who's in the stuck up suit because he can't go to the game and be able to spend the money on all the people that he has the corporate sponsorships with. Murray, stay true. Do not stoop to this guy's level because everyone's going to come to your defense and you're going to rise to the top. Don't blow your gasket over this guy. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, John. You were almost like a de facto therapist there, but blowing my gasket, I think it's already happened. And I just can't help myself. I do love the dirt. And here's the thing too. So
yeah,
this doesn't mean like am I gonna watch when they play the Yankees? Of course I am. I'm gonna be rooting for the Yankees. I get that it's back, and you know, for a lot of people, because there are people that care. I'll be curious to see what the numbers
especially opening day. But opening day is when you get sort of the most fake fans, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what's a little interesting to me about this conversation is that on opening day, like people that aren't really even invested are invested because it's like the event. Okay, it's like opening day. Oh, the first one. Well, come check in with me when we're talking about game 37 or game 38.
You know, so like, look, with who the opponent was last night, and we went through the lineup last night. I think I knew all of one name, Chris Davis. The rest, it's like, I already know what the outcome of this is going to be. So I'm going to fulfill my dinner reservation with my lovely wife. We've been cooped up, as is everybody else. So I'm going to enjoy my life as much as I possibly can in this hell world that we now live in. With that, if you'd like to join the show at 617-779, get it right, Jim, 0985. Take more of your calls coming up next And Chris, I want to get your thoughts on Cam Newton's arrival. Mm-hmm. Poor bastard getting cameras and microphones shoved in his face as soon as he touched it down in Logan earlier this week. We'll get to that next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going straight to Logan Airport where Cam Newton is live walking through the baggage claim area. I'm going to listen in, and that's Chelsea McDonald right there with him. Is he talking?
Cam, I'm so sorry to do this to you. You're live right now with Channel 7. I'm sorry. I know you didn't want to talk. Anything that you can say to Patriots Nation right now, again, you're live with Channel 7.
No disrespect to nobody, but I'm extremely ecstatic. But I'm not talking. That's pretty much, you know.
When can we expect you to say a few more words for us?
Who knows?
Excited to be here in Boston?
Go Pats. Thank you.
Thanks, Cam. Welcome to Boston.
Gasper Murray, the Be Better Boys here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So Cam Newton, his arrival at Logan Airport earlier this week. I kind of felt bad for him. I hadn't seen that type of media vulture behavior, I feel like, in quite some time. Like, they must have got tipped off. Maybe a baggage guy, someone working for that particular airline. I think he was in the Delta terminal, so someone that works for Delta calls up Channel 7 like, yeah, Cam's on this flight. I thought it was from L.A., but it turns out it was from Atlanta.
It wasn't from L.A.?
No, I think the reports were it was from Atlanta where he's got a home, but I thought it was L.A. just based on some of the videos he's been posting.
Yeah, and the gate they were at, because as someone who was pretty, you know, used to, well, oh, man, now I'm depressed. Yeah. As someone who used to go out to L.A., I looked at that gate and I was like, oh, yeah, he's on that L.A. flight, because I would fly there and back on Delta.
On Delta One, not just Delta. He wasn't on the any of those commoner seats. Don't let him fool you.
His seat might have fully reclined and might have been in first class.
But I was under the assumption, though, initially that it was the LA flight. But either way, like, this is the type of stuff.
Is so great, though.
These are the type of the things. It's like, oh, Jesus. Like, this is when I don't envy anyone with that kind of a status or you know, professional athlete, famous like that. Can you just leave me alone? So what do you think that this was? Because I think the one question that comes from this is how he was so tight-lipped where he hasn't been before and how outspoken he's been on social media. He did that whole thing with Odell Beckham and his...
Todd Gurley and Victor Cruz. And he's really good.
His production company. And just like that.
That's great.
Tight-lipped. Yeah. So has he been already reprogrammed, or was this... And it's more what I think is that he got off the plane. He didn't expect that. And it was like, oh, Jesus. Like, I don't have much to say.
I think it was, you know, look, maybe in a different – I think he likes talking when he can control the message, which he can do through his production company and his social media. It's a little different when you're doing it with a media member, and the Patriots haven't done anything official with him in terms of a Zoom or anything like that. So I think he probably did some pretty quick calculus in his head and said, okay, you know, what is to be gained from me talking versus – you know, getting reamed out by Bears Najarian. So I think he decided that it was probably better to just give a quick, I'm ecstatic and go Pats. And, you know, I have to say, in a way, I wasn't here this week for that, but I do admire the stick-to-itiveness of the reporter to just sort of, you know, that's one of the best reporter devices. And I've done it too. It's like, oh, so sorry. I hate to do this to you, but I'm now going to ask you the following three questions on live television.
We are live right now.
We
on
are
Channel
live.
7 after
you. Oh, I know you said you didn't want to talk, and I feel so bad doing this. We are live though on Channel 7, you know.
All right, let's get to some of your calls here. 617-779-0985. Got an open line if you do want to join us. As we're talking Pats, go to Alan in California. Go ahead, Alan. Hello.
Hi. Jim, on your afternoon show lately, I've been kind of stumbling to get a couple of points across, is that I do love what Bill is doing to get the core nucleus, you know, together, get under the cap and all that. But I look at it in terms of how are they going to have the offensive firepower that really competes with the Chiefs over the next few years. So that's like my concern. I love Cam. I love what they're probably going to do with him and reform the team to work around his skills. I like that. But I just don't know if that's going to be enough offensive firepower to compete when the Chiefs are just chugging on eight cylinders. I think we had the Chiefs light last year, and they still won the championship.
Well, look, they're returning basically the same team offensively. Yeah. They're bringing back Sammy Watkins. They got Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman. I mean, they're stacked offensively. They're losing that guard, who's the first player to opt out. But I don't know. Do the Patriots have what it takes right now to keep up with them offensively? Probably not. I know they played a tight game against them here last year, and you still want to whine about getting screwed on that call with down by the sideline there when they called it. They called him out of bounds. They said he was out of bounds. The rookie, N'Keal Harry. They said N'Keal Harry was out of bounds. So, all right, you know, that was a competitive game there. Defensively, they can hang with them. Can they keep them under 30 points? Probably. But I don't know. Like, to keep up with them the next few years, or at least going into this season, they just don't have the firepower to do it. I really don't think that they do. But defensively, I think that they have, and the way that they've schemed it up before, like, they'll still have a competitive game. I don't know. The Chiefs are the team you're going to worry about going forward here in the next 5 years, at least.
Yeah, and you know, their first-round pick was Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU. I mean, if he's any good, look out, because I thought that was sort of the weakness, even as well as Damian Williams played. But if they can get better at running back, LeSean McCoy's still on the street. He was with them last year. Didn't even play in the Super Bowl, I believe. I think he was inactive for that game. I think the Patriots and Belichick will try and do it a different way. I mean, did they try and keep up from an offensive firepower standpoint with the greatest show on turf, Rams? No, they did it with defense. When Bill was the defensive coordinator of the Giants in 1990, did they try and keep up with the K-gun Buffalo Bills? No, it was the running game and great defense. So I think you'll see them try and – they're not going to try and fight fire with fire. They're going to fight fire with water. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, defensively, I think, look, they have some holes, or at least question marks. Maybe these kids that they drafted this year are going to help out, you know, at linebacker. But there was a thing that posted behind the ESPN paywall this week that had them ranked, I think it was 28th, in terms of, you know, looking at a team. How did they phrase it? Let me look this up real quick, because I want to get this right.
Like high-end talent?
Away.
Yeah. I can dance while you're doing that. I mean, I like the young guys they brought in, you know, Chase Winovich. And I saw a couple of people this week had some interesting roster breakdowns. I know one of them was Mike Reese, and I thought that was really interesting. And Mike brought up the interesting point of you can have 48 guys active now on game days instead of 46, but among those 48, you have to have 8 offensive linemen. So he was sort of saying, oh, okay, that's going to help with these young offensive linemen. And to what you brought up with Marcus Cannon, that's really interesting, where I think they would need more depth there at that position. So I think that's one way you look at the roster. But I look at some of the roster breakdowns, and there are guys like Terrence Brooks people have not making the team, guys like Cody Davis not making the team. You know how I feel about the wide receiver thing. Like, for me, I feel like Jacoby Myers could be a Kembrell Tompkins, where he was the guy you had that year because he was the best you had, but maybe long term he's not really anything special.
Yeah, I forget. I can't find it. God, their website blows.
So I just danced for nothing.
Yeah, but no, I get what you're saying, but it was good dancing.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, moving them hips.
Yep.
I think it was based on most improved. So Miami was number one with all the changes they've made, drafting Tua Tagovailoa. The Patriots were 28th, which I felt like, I mean, okay, yeah, they should be middle of the pack. That feels way low. And they had the L.A. Chargers ahead of them when, you know, who's your quarterback this year? It's starting quarterback as of right now.
It's Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert's behind him.
Yeah, we don't really know anything about him. Like, that team, I think, was ranked 23rd. But overall, you know, I think, looking defensively, I think that you can make the case they have one of the top five secondaries in the league, maybe even top three. But there's still so many question marks, linebacker up front, that you can't say. So they probably should be in the 20s. 28, though, too.
28 feels low. I mean, I look at their – I still think the defense is the strength of the team. The biggest question mark will be this. You lost Van Noy and Collins. You had a very strong linebacker core. And now Dante Hightower's a year older. What are you going to get from Juwan Bentley? Is somebody like Uche going to play off the line? I watched him a little bit in the Senior Bowl and saw him a little bit at Michigan, and he's a versatile guy. But Belichick always says some guys are better going forward and some guys are better going backwards. I look at Uche as a guy who's better going forward. Like, I don't think he's – I have some questions about his acclimation to an off-the-line linebacker role. That's my biggest question mark for this team. But I think one way they could mitigate that, and this is something I wanted to see, you know, some of these roster breakdowns, which I thought were really fascinating. I think Adrian Phillips is like an under-the-radar signing for the Patriots. He's from the Chargers. He's a safety, but he's sort of more of like a safety linebacker hybrid. I think he's going to play a ton of snaps. And I think essentially you have to count him among the linebackers, and he could really boost that group.
But overall, them being ranked around there, I think it comes down to two things. They're old, like you mentioned.
Yeah, they are older.
In certain areas. And the drafts the last, like, 4 years. I mean, look, we don't know about this year's draft class, but prior to that, the last four, not great.
That's
so
true.
They don't have a lot of household names at important positions. That's all. All right, couple of segments to go. You want to join us? Got a couple open lines, 617-779-0985. See, got it right. It's the Be Better Boys. Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's go to Bill in Framingham. Hi, you're next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Bill. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jim, you're absolutely right. I watched about half an inning of that game last night, and I thought it was a bore. I won't watch one more game under these conditions. I felt like, you know, when there's a 16-inning rain delay game, and you hang around, and then they end up starting the game again, and there's no fans in the stands, and it's just an awful way to watch a game. You knew in those games, that was like an anomaly. This is going to be every day like this. I won't watch another game. I don't care if they go 60-0. I'm not watching it. I thought it was terrible. And on another point, I watched some of the basketball game between Dallas and the Lakers the other night. I felt the same way. I mean, this is like watching a scrimmage of it. I didn't realize how much fans meant to a game. And I do now, and I'm done watching this stuff. I can't watch it.
Thanks, Bill. I don't think you're alone. There are some people that think the whole thing is too weird, so or they just didn't want it back because it's going to be so weird. Like, no fans, it's going to be different. Bleh. I have change rage, which I typically have in most cases. But with this, not so much. I just, with the Red Sox opener last night, I know, shame. I wasn't as cranked up as many of you were. Like, I don't know, sports is back. Like, sports has been back. I've watched some of the Revs, you know, even a little bit of Bundesliga here and there.
Bundesliga.
And those certainly aren't my sports typically, but I'm also, you know, quite honestly, until we get to the NHL and the NBA, I'm not like so starved. I'm like, I'm going to make sure that my Friday night is going to be spent 4 hours in front of a television to watch Red Sox Orioles. It was the opener. Wee, neat. Already knew what the outcome was going to be.
And that's on the Orioles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's on the Orioles and that's on Major League Baseball to put that sort of product out there. Like you said, like, I didn't recognize a lot of those names. And again, you know, I went and watched a good chunk of the game. But, you know, look, I mean, the Orioles are not a particularly appealing opponent. And these are unusual times. You have no fans in the stands. I know it was opening day. People are excited. We're happy to have baseball back. But people are going to interpret it differently. And people are also going to use their time as sort of limited as it is right now with the things you can do. People are going to prioritize different things and use their time differently, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, and now, granted, if that was Red Sox-Yankees, I would have watched because I think that's a more compelling product. It comes out, so where I disagree with the caller is, you know, so he said he watched the Lakers scrimmage. You know,
yeah.
The Celtics had one last night. It was yesterday evening, but I DVR'd it so I could watch the whole damn thing. That I was actually compelled by because, you know, I'm fired up for the Celtics to be back. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be like, I like all of these things equally. I don't. So Celtics, more into it than the Red Sox. Shame.
And it's an expectation thing, too. You know, what hurt baseball, Jim, was that they didn't get to start their season. And now it's starting, and it's an unusual season, no question about it. But the other teams, there's a level of emotional investment with the Bruins and Celtics because we've seen them.
Well, it feels like there's something on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they are championship contenders. We know that. I think the expectations for this Red Sox team were lower. And we talked about this during the entire quarantine. I was surprised by how used to I got not having baseball. I thought I would miss it a lot more. Now, I will say, to be honest with you, when it came to watching old games, the thing I watched the most was baseball. I watched a ton of old games that were baseball games.
Oh, it's a completely different product.
Yeah, in terms of that day in, day out, I think a lot of people got used to not having baseball. I think they were the sport that was hurt the most by the pandemic.
Justin in the truck on last night's game. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. I watched pretty much the entire game. I watched some Orioles pitcher that I think has been on like 9 teams in the past 10 years throw a really crappy changeup. I hope I can say that on the radio. And get roped into, you know, left field a few times. I watched a guy, I think, walk the bases loaded and walk in a couple runs. I just don't think that I need, you know, Big Jim to tell me that the Orioles are a Triple-A team and the Red Sox aren't, and they got, you know, destroyed. It's just, I don't understand why Nesson cares if you didn't watch it. I hope you had a nice dinner. Have a great Saturday, guys.
Thanks, Justin. I did. Again, not to give a free plug, but I will, like, Semolina in Medford, that's where I've eaten that probably the most during the shutdown, and they do a bang-up job, whether it's takeout or dine out on the patio like the wife and I did last night. Hell of a time, and their sangria is mwah, chef's kiss. Let's go to Michael in Warwick, who has a bone to pick with old Gasper when it comes to the expanded MLB playoffs. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Chris, I love both of you guys on the show together. It's great. But the problem I have, I agree with you with an 162-game season that an expanded playoff would be horrible. But the benefit of a 162-game season is you can grind it out and actually get there in the end and have a chance to go on a run. And with a shortened season, those teams are just about ready to grind it out, and all of a sudden the season's over. I don't think it's unreasonable in this season to let them go and say, hey, give it a shot. If you can get through the playoffs after being there, you know, after almost getting there because of you ground it out, I don't think that's a bad thing this year. If they expand it next year, forget it. But for this year, I think it gives teams the chance to make up for the fact that they don't have 162 games to fight it out.
Yeah, I see your point. I think that's an interesting counter argument, the idea that the sample size isn't necessarily large enough to make sure you get the 10 best teams. So have it be larger so that you end up with the best teams in the playoffs and let them duke it out. I just think that it's off brand and antithetical to baseball to do this, because they always preach to you. And the thing I like about baseball is that the regular season really matters. And I know we have a truncated regular season, but I still was hoping with the 60 games, you know, I still think 10 teams, that's pretty fair. That's a third of the league that gets in. There's a lot of access there. And I felt like the increased access to the playoffs was built into only having a 60-game season, where some of the lesser teams, their shortcomings would not be exposed. And I put the Red Sox in that category. I think over 162 games, some of your roster weaknesses can be exposed. Over 60 games, not so much. So I feel like just the length of the season itself is increased access to the playoffs. I think it's overkill to have a 60-game season and then have more than half the league make the playoffs on top of that. If that's the case, then let's just fast forward to the playoffs.
Yeah, I just hope that it's just for this year. For this year, I get it. Maybe it incentivizes some of these middling teams from giving up if they have a rough start the first couple of weeks. But I just, you know, I like the exclusivity that comes with the MLB playoffs. It ensures that you typically don't get a crap product. I mean, if there's one thing that I still do like about MLB is the playoffs, especially those one-game little playoffs that they have.
I hate the one-game fabricated wild card. That's the one good thing about this is that's going away.
But you're just asking for bad teams to end up making it in, because if you just based it on last year, like the Rangers get in, a sub-500 team. Red Sox certainly wouldn't have deserved to be there. Same with the Cubs. So I don't want that. But for this year, fine. I get it. Everything's different. It's all weird. But don't have it go beyond that.
And I also don't like in general. Look, some of the sports you get used to it. We know in the NBA and the NHL that there are teams that make the playoffs. And they're basically just showing up. It's like, oh, we made the playoffs. It was a successful season. But the idea of a playoff should be to crown a champion. And the teams that are in the playoffs should have a legitimate chance to do so. You would hope you're able to distill down through your season those teams. And that's one of the things I like about the MLB playoffs, is that I feel like they sort of distill down the contenders from the pretenders, which doesn't necessarily happen in other sports. And this one, I feel like you're not going to be able to do that. And I don't like that. I feel like, again, they have this tradition, and we know baseball is all about tradition, and this is one of the good things, that the regular season matters. To your point, there's exclusivity when it comes to access to the playoffs. Now it's pretty much like everybody in the pool, and I don't like that.
Tom in Watertown, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Big Jim, it's Tom Karen. What's the deal?
All right, well, sometimes the impersonations and bits don't go well with the callers. There was something you wanted to touch on quickly from Nana Florio's ProFootballTalk.com,
Chris. It's not so much a comment on Florio. I thought this was interesting. So as part of this agreement between the NFL and NFLPA about how they're going to conduct this season, this COVID season. I found it very interesting, and I feel like the NFL was able to insert sort of a poison pill here, and I'm not sure if the Players Association fully recognizes what they've done. So the idea was, okay, if a player gets COVID, we'll say it's not a non-football injury and they'll get paid, except for the NFL slipped in this thing that this deal specifically prohibits players from engaging in certain behaviors this season. And if the team says, oh, it was this behavior that caused you to get the coronavirus, then they can fine the player and they don't have to fully pay them the way they would if it were a football injury. That was the whole argument here. You know, is COVID this year going to be a football injury or a non-football injury? And just, you know, listen to what some of these things are. Players cannot attend indoor nightclubs, indoor bars, indoor house parties, indoor concerts, professional sporting events, church services that allow attendance above 25% of capacity. Nothing outrageous there, Jim, but I'm telling you, the first time a player tests positive for COVID and it's an issue, the NFL team is going to be scrutinizing where they went, what they did, and trying to get out of paying them by saying, oh, you didn't get it from us and being around the facility. What were you? Oh, you picked up that order of chicken tenders from a Postmates guy? Oh, well, you weren't supposed to do that. You weren't supposed to go here. I have an issue with that, and I think that the NFL slipped a fastball. They got a fast one by the NFLPA.
But if you look at what's going on with David Pastrnak and Andre Kasha and the Bruins, and it sounds like those two aren't going to be on the plane to Toronto tomorrow. Shocker. Isn't it within these teams' rights to do that? I mean, you're essentially asking these guys just to be personally responsible. So
sure.
But how do you know that they're going to be fair about it?
Well, yeah, how do you know they're going to be fair about it? But also, what means do you have to unequivocally be able to determine the provenance of somebody testing positive?
No,
where did they get? You're not going to know where they got it from.
I see what you mean. Yeah, no, it's you're assuming. You're assuming just because they were at a nightclub or an indoor church service, that's immediately where they got it from.
Yeah, as opposed to being around 89 other players.
Yeah,
and staff.
And are they really going to do their due diligence and find out that and trace it and that's where they got it from? Probably not.
No. But I mean, what would you say the likelihood is that you go to let's say you're at an indoor house party, right? Indoor outdoor house party. And you try and be very cautious, or you're at an NFL facility with 89 other guys, and there's other people, coaches, and all these other people coming in.
You don't know where they're
going. You're out on the field at some point, sweating on each other and breathing on each other, and you're going to be like, "Oh yeah, I went to this party, and there were 15 people there, and I got it from that." As opposed to practicing with, even if they cut it down, with 79 other guys in the heat for 3 hours and sweating all over each other. Come on.
Yeah, well, so this stands out to me, too, in this column from Pro Football Talk, as one source said this morning, probably a player, quote, every player should delete social media. Yeah, and heed my words, too, which I've been saying for months now. Do something. If you're doing something, say nothing, which is essentially like, yeah, delete your social media or don't post every single photo like, here I am here, here I am. Like, no. You're going to make people very upset. And they're going to think that you're out and spreading. You're a super spreader. It's all bad. So. And that source is right.
And here's just one more thing on this, too. Here's where I think they really sneaked a fast one by the NFLPA. It also says, future guarantees in their contracts would be voided. What does that have to do with COVID?
Oh, no.
Future guarantee.
No.
So let's say you have a base salary guarantee for the next year, and you go to a house party and you test positive, and they say, oh, you got it from that. Okay, so I don't have to pay you this year when you're on NFI and blah, blah, blah. But what the heck does that have to do with a year from now or 2 years from now, I have base salary guarantees in my contract? Huh? Well, why do you get to take those away?
They're looking for outs so they don't have to pay these guys.
Bingo.
I want to stand corrected on something. Oh, how about this? Emily Benjamin who's now?
NHL.com.
NHL.com. Apparently, Bruce Cassidy spoke this morning, said about Pastrnak and Nick Ritchie. I believe they will be traveling, said he's not sure about Andre Kasha. So that's interesting. All right, Pastrnak's going to be on the plane? I'll believe it when I see it. We'll wrap up the show next.
This is Jasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Jasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing.
Wrap up here with five questions for Chris Gasper, Channel 5. Got nothing to do with sports. Was that the updated intro? I wasn't even paying attention.
I don't know. Was it? I think it said Channel 5.
I think so. Either way, catch Chris now back from vacation, WCVB Channel 5. Question number one, Chris. Have you ever gone to see a fortune teller? If so, did you believe in what they told you?
I have never gone to see a fortune teller. I'm not, you know, I'm torn on that. I'm sort of ambivalent. I would kind of like to know, but I kind of don't want to know.
Yeah, it's all a crock. Question number two. A study says sleeping in on the weekends or days that you're off, not the best for you, Chris. Do you sleep in or do you stick with your routine, whether or not it's a work day?
I think the only day I might sleep in a little bit is Sunday, but that's gotten a little, you know, tougher now. I do these like Zoom workout classes.
Oh.
So I really am not sleeping in a ton. And I'll tell you, on this vacation, I was getting up earlier than ever. Because I'm all about, you know, we've talked about this.
Oh, you got to squeeze the most out of vacation.
Exactly.
I'm with you there.
I mean, if you're spending that money, like I've said this, you know, vacationing, it's not a vacation. It's just a different kind of job. And your job is to squeeze the most out of that buck that you are spending. And I'm all about that.
That I co-sign on. Question number three, what is your most used emoji?
Most used emoji. Probably the thumbs up.
Yeah, that or the crying laughing emoji is usually one that I think is probably my most used.
Yeah, I use that one a lot.
Right now.
If my phone weren't broken, I could tell you.
Yeah, what happened? You were...
I went on a nice bike ride on Nantucket and, you know, a little longer than I thought. I'll be honest, I'm not in the best shape. And I got to the beach and it was hot and I had my phone in the basket of the bike from the hotel the whole time, but it turned out it was in my pocket when I went in the ocean, so it will not turn on. So I can't get any text messages.
And sure enough, though, yeah. I was right. It was the crying laughing emoji.
Really?
In the upper left corner.
Yeah.
Question number four. If the best at doing something is considered the Tom Brady of that craft, which woman is the Tom Brady of models? Claudia Schiffer, Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell. Oof. You want to go back to the 90s and like...
The Tom Brady of models. I think it's... why am I drawing a blank on her? Married to Ed Norton, I think.
Married to Ed Norton.
Christy Turlington.
Okay. Yeah,
I think Christy Turlington. She doesn't age. Christy Turlington.
Yeah, she used to be my favorite back in the day, too. Finally, question number five. Drive-in movies.
Yeah.
They're now, you know, especially back during these COVID times. You in or out on drive-in movies?
I haven't done it yet. I would try it. I remember as a kid, we used to go to some drive-in movies. It was kind of cool. It was kind of fun. Like, I would try it.
I got to say, I did it for the first time. I hadn't been to one in probably 20 years, but, you know, now that Kowloon's doing them.
Okay, oh, Kowloon. Okay.
And we went and saw Grease the other night, a movie I kind of hate, but well, it was a good time.
Gets really?
You out of the house. So, yeah, you have some.
What did you like about it? And I, by the way, I also hate Grease.
The comfort
one of the most overrated movies of all time.
It's the comfort of being in your car. You crank the AC a little bit. It was cozy. It was cute. You know, it's worth doing once.
You think so?
Yeah.
But you have a very nice car, though.
As do you, Chris.
Let's I'm just saying, like, did that make a difference, or?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, if I was in, like, you know, the tailgate of some beater, the hell with that. I'll stay home.
Can I just tell you, as much as I like the brand of car that we have, I've come to learn through COVID and some of the stuff I have to do for WCVB, some of these live shots, like, you know, they don't let you hang around. If it's the Bruins, you can't hang around Warrior. If it's the Red Sox, you have to vacate Fenway at a certain point. So I end up typing and working in my car. And as much as I love my car, oh God, it is not designed to be an office. Like there is not
not
a flat surface on that thing.
No.
I can't tell you how many times I put the little Verizon MiFi thing and it just slides right down under the seat, or like my computer falls or my phone. You know, as much as I love my car, I mean, it's built for speed, not built for working.
Yeah, speed and style, not for productivity.
Yeah. No.
The BMW is what Chris doesn't want to say. all right, for Chris Gasper, always a pleasure, pal.
Hey.
Hopefully today wasn't too uncomfortable.
No, right back at you.
Yeah. And for Tucker Silver producing the show, that is going to be it for us. Hopefully we'll be back next week. You never know after today's show. At least that's for me. That'll do it for us. Hopefully talk to you Monday on Felger and Maz as well. Goodbye, everyone.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.